We're thrilled to be here. Good to be back. Been 4 years now, I think. But we're certainly glad to be here with Dr. Scheer and his beautiful wife. Amen. And thank the Lord for that. And we rejoice. And I'm glad to have my wife with me. Sweetie, would you stand? There's some people here that don't know you. This is my precious wife. And you pray for us, please. We're on a 2-month trip right now across the nation. We were in Iowa 2 weeks ago, had 34 saved, and praise God. And then we came on over to Wyoming, had a great meeting there. And then in Riverton, Wyoming, Sunday, we had 12 saved. So God's in the soul-saving business, see, you know, and he hasn't gotten out of it in spite of what a lot of people say and think. And he's still on the throne. You know, God's not broke. I wish we could get a hold of that one. He's not looking for a financial advisor or anything. He's still putting diamonds, rubies, onyx, stone, all of that in the cement mixer when he makes the foundations of heaven, we're told. And so we just, I can't believe how many people are backing up on God now about tithing. Oh my. This time you ought to double tithe. This is time you ought to step out and say, here it is, Lord, I can't make it, but with you I can make it. And just, he said, try me, prove me. He wants you to do that. And I hope that you'll get a hold to that. You know, I tell people all over the country, it's amazing. How far do we want to go with this Christianity thing? We want to be a Christian till music. Woo! Then we just anything. Could I tell you, there may be Christian music, rock music, but there's no Christian rock music. There may be, all this stuff contemporary and all that, but you can't take God's words and put them to the devil's tune. That don't work. That don't work. Yeah, you know, a lot of churches call me now and say, Dr. Williams, we've gone to contemporary music. You still want to come? And I said, no, we'd have a war. You know, my preaching, your music ain't going to work. A lot of people say, Brother Williams, you keep preaching like you're preaching, you'll be on the street corner. I said, that's where I started. Amen. Yeah. I was preaching against cigarettes in Winston-Salem. This fellow walked up to me and he said, you keep preaching the way you're preaching, you don't get no love offering. I said, to make sure I have enough money to leave here before I came. Amen? Amen. Amen. Don't, you know, if you're hooked to a paycheck, it'll control you.
That's right, brother.
Yeah, it'll control you. So I hope tonight, be a Christian in your music, be a Christian in everything you do. And now get hold of your seat. Get hold of your seat. I'm going to give you something, okay? Be a Christian when it comes tax time.
Amen.
Don't let your government make a liar out of you.
That's right.
You made it, pay it.
That's right. Amen.
Jesus Christ paid his taxes. That's in the Bible too, you know. Yeah, right, Brother Williams. Okay, now. All right. I want to just tell you about the table real quick. This is the book that we wrote 4 years ago, Ms. Williams and I. It's my autobiography. God is using it all over the world. We're so thankful people being saved through it and so many wonderful things. And then there's three movies on the table for children. Cowboy Tom, The Little Bit of the Old West. I am a cowboy. I don't just dress like one. They're 30 minutes long. Your children will love them. They're great soul-winning tools. You go in your neighborhood, get children into your home, play them these, and they get saved. They get saved. We went was in a church some time ago, 44-foot pews, 18 children sitting on one pew, and a lady came and said, Brother Williams, I want you to meet all these, every one of these children saved through Cowboy Tom tapes. I hope that you will get them, use them for your glory, with God in prayer. With God in prayer. People don't pray. 99% of all Christians don't pray. Don't pray. The average parent sitting in front of me tonight prays less than 2 minutes a day for your children. Stop and think. How much do you pray every day for your children going out into a wicked, ungodly nation? Less than 2 minutes, most parents pray for their children. Faith. Faith. That you cannot please God without faith. Bible says that you cannot, it may not be, probably, you just can't. It's impossible, not improbable, to please God without faith. Bible challenge. A man reads you the Bible in 72 hours. There's two DVDs, and a big Bible comes up on your screen. You never see this fellow reading it. Got a tremendous voice, better than Alexander Scarbia, even. And he'll read you the Bible in 72 hours. Do you understand that I'm talking to people tonight that have been saved for years that have never read the whole Bible? And you can read it in 72 hours. That's a crime. Amen, brother. That's good. Now, how to be happily married. Here's 3 one-hour DVDs on how to be happily married. People say, Brother Williams, you've been married 60 years. What about this? You know all this stuff? I said, I don't know much. Adam's the only man that didn't have a mother-in-law. Here is Calvary, the heart of God. 4 messages on Calvary. You want to live close to God, live close to the cross. Live close to the cross. It may be 2,000 years ago to you and me that Jesus died. It was yesterday morning to His Father. Because 1,000 years with God is a day. A day is 1,000 years. 1,000 years a day. And so yesterday morning. How big is God? You've got to see this. It is the creation of the world. And this guy puts it down where you and I can get a hold of it. He shows you the creation of the universe. It is absolutely tremendous. I hope that you'll get. How big is God? And then the movie that of my second wife. Most of you know that I have had 2 lives pass on. And my second wife and I were married 47 years. I cared for her for 28 and a half years. And she never saw the inside of a nursing home. She didn't know who I was. Didn't know who the children were or anything. We wore out 3 wheelchairs and tens of thousands of diapers. And this movie is 30 years old. And we still have over 3,000 people a month saved through the film. I trust that you'll get it. It'll make your marriage much more precious to you. I promise you. I promise you it will. That it'll make your marriage so much greater and so much better. I've written a new track called When Will You Die? When Will You Die? You know, it's the easiest track I've ever given out. Because everybody knows they gotta die. They gotta die. You know, people, you talk to people a little bit about dying, they say, well, I'll tell you, preacher, if I die. And I say, if? No, it's not if, it's when. Yep. When will you die? When will you die? And I hope you'll get, there are $5 for 100 of them. They're in packs back there. Get some of these, get some of the tracks here from the church. Put them together and it's like a double barrel shotgun, okay? Don't let the track rack in this church not go empty every week. Amen. Every week it ought to go empty. But I'm going to have to come back a little more often. You don't even know how to say amen anymore. Okay. Well, all right. I hope you'll do that. And Mrs. Williams has an album back there. You don't see one of your albums, honey. Mrs. Williams has an album for you ladies. It has 3 messages on an MP3. She spoke to a bunch of ladies up in Pennsylvania. They were from several states up there. And you will be blessed. You will be blessed. The Christ life. The Christ, living the Christ life. Call unto me. Some of the messages on there. And then putting on the whole armor of God. I'm going to tell you something. You better get on the whole armor today. You better get it on. Because I'm telling you, the battle that we're in now is just very mild as to what it's headed for. I beg you to believe that. I beg you to believe that. Ms. Williams and I talk all the time about, will we really stand and have our head cut off for Jesus?
Yep.
You better think about it. It ain't far away.
That's right.
It ain't far away. Wish I could get folks to believe that. Here's one CD for you ladies. How to develop a prayer life. Not a prayer time. A lot of people have a prayer time. I'm talking about a prayer life. I'm talking about praying about everything. 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 A prayer life. And you see, you don't... People say, Brother Williams, how do you and Ms. Williams pray several hours a day? You don't start that way. You don't start that way. You start out with about 5 minutes, 10 minutes, then 15, then 20, then 30, and you move up to 40. And maybe after 3 or 4 years, you get up to an hour. You get up to an hour a day that you pray. And then 2, 3. I had a preacher call me from Pennsylvania a while back, and he said, Dr. Williams, he said, I'm in this church here right on the edge of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And he said, not too much happening. He said, not much bigger than when I came here. And he said, I want to go somewhere where something's really happening. What do you suggest? I said, son, I said, how much do you pray? And he said, oh, maybe 20, maybe 30 minutes a day. I said, let's move that up to 2 hours a day and see what God does. He said, 2 hours a day? What would I pray about for 2 hours a day? I said, I'll tell you what you do. Download the U.S. Senate. They need prayer. I said, download the U.S. Congress. They need prayer. I said, download the Supreme Court. They need prayer. I said, download the White House staff. They need prayer. I said, download the Pentagon. I said, son, I'm talking about 1,000 people right now. How long going to take you to pray for them every day? And I said, then download all the independent Baptist churches in Pennsylvania. I said, there's hundreds of them. And then pray for them. And then move over to Ohio. And move up to New York. And move back to Indiana. And I said, go across the lower 48 states. And then go up to Alaska. And go up to Hawaii. And then go out to our sub-countries, Guam and Puerto Rico. And I said, son, first thing you know, you have a list to pray about that you can't believe. How long been since you prayed? How long been since you prayed for the 50 states that you call your country? How long has it been since you simply named the towns of Montana to God? Is this your country? You say it is. You say it is. See, the problem in America is not the White House. The problem in America is our house. Stop and think a minute. Stop and think a minute. Every politician in America came out of an American home. That ought to tell you what kind of a condition our homes are in. See, you can't make a school Christian with a sign. You can't make it Christian with curriculum. It's either Christian by the people that go there or it ain't. We put church out here all the time. Somebody said to me, Brother Weiss, isn't everybody that's saved a Christian? I said, I wish they were. It'd make my job real easy. Right, preacher? Yeah. Look, salvation's free, folks. Christian is earned. You've got to earn the name Christian. Look in your Bible. Look in your Bible. Look, they didn't call anybody Christian until Antioch. And that's 2 or 3 years after Christ. Finally, somebody decided to live enough like Christ that somebody said, you're a Christian. You know what the word Christian means? Little Christ. Little Christ. Can people look at you and believe there's a God? Folks, if God answers prayer, why don't we pray? Okay. Well, anyway. Now, this is brand new. We're so excited about this. This is 10 45-minute DVDs on prayer. On prayer. You pray for this. A church get this and play one of these a week for 10 weeks. Have absolute revival. You get it in your home with your family and play one a week. You'll have a home that you cannot believe. These are professionally filmed. God just blessed them and blessed them, and He is blessing them. They are now on the internet all over the world. And I hope you would get this album in your home. Get this album in your home and play one of these a week. You know, if you looked up the word prayer in your Bible, prayeth, praying, prayer, you'd find it mentioned more than 560 times. If you looked up the word preach, you'd find it less than 160 times. 3 times as much in the Bible about praying as there is preaching. God does not major on preaching. That's what's wrong with us. We have a conference, have 10 or 15 main speakers. I've spoken a lot of them. There's no time for prayer set aside. No time. Folks, we're not going to get out of where we are by preaching. The only way we're going to get God involved is prayer. Getting on our face before God. Let me illustrate. Here are the Muslims. Right out on the street. Don't make any difference where they are. I could stay down there and mention the Hare Krishna. I could stay down there and mention the Hindus and the Shintos and the Buddhists. You want to know where fundamental America is? Sitting in a chair talking to God. We know zip about humility. If you went to a Catholic church tonight, between every... Anybody here was raised Catholic and got saved? Jim? What do you find between every 2 pews in a Catholic church?
Between every pew, Dr. Williams, you have a kneeling board.
Yeah. Got a kneeling bench. Where's ours? Did you know Peter got on his knees before he tried to raise Rhoda from the dead? Dorcas? Do you see your Savior in the Garden of Gethsemane on his face? Do you see Moses on his face? Do you see Aaron on his face? Do you see Solomon, the greatest king that ever lived, the wisest man that ever walked? And when he gets ready to dedicate the temple to God, he builds a scaffold big enough that the whole nation can watch him get up there. And this great king, this great leader, this man who controlled nation after nation after nation, this man got up in front of the whole nation and knelt down on his knees. We need to come back to humility. If President Obama walked in the back door, whether you like him or don't like him, common sense would say, stand. The president of your country just walked in. How much more do we owe the God of heaven? Absolute humility. All right, good. Well, take your Bible I'll not preach long tonight, probably a couple hours. All right? You say, I'll go home. Yeah, that's okay. I'll come see you. Now, 2 Kings, if you would, please, in your Bible. Book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings in chapter 5. 2 Kings in chapter 5. Thank you, Brother Shear, for having us tonight. So good to be with you and your good wife and the people here. Good to see you, Brother Rick. And see you, Brother James, and your family. And so many that are given still playing over here. Amen. 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 We pray for you all the time, dear sister. Amen. Pray to old Sister Talmadge into heaven. Amen. What a lady. What a lady. I took her home a couple of times. She'd say, pump there. Stop right here. I say, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Bless her heart. Amen. Amen. Good to see Scott. Still on the back row, I see. Scott, bless your heart. I'm going to build the ideal Baptist church someday. Just going to have one row all across the back. Then you push a button and it rolls forward. Amen. All right. James, where's my licorice? You said you'd bring me a great...
You want me to get it for you right now?
No, but I just want to be sure it's here. Okay, buddy. All right. I don't even eat licorice, but James brings it. Okay. No, I'm going to eat it. Amen. Yeah. All right. 2 Kings chapter 5. This is a story about the leader of the army of Syria. Now, if you think the Syrians chopping off heads is anything new, it isn't. They've done that ever since they've been in business. They were not the greatest fighting force in the world, but they were the most furious. And that's how they captured so many nations, was they frightened them. They frightened them. They put fear into them with all of their atrocities that they did to people. And here is this fellow Naaman, and he's captain of the host of the king of Syria, the Bible says. He's number one man. He's equal to our joint chiefs of staff man. He's equal to what we used to, you know, as Colin Powell or whoever's there now. He's number one, right under the king. And he's a great soldier, great soldier. He has gone over to Israel with a raiding party. And he had burned this city. That was their custom to do that. He had killed most of all the people. But he had brought some of the people back. And one person he brought back was a little girl, the Bible says, a little maid. Probably somewhere in the 14-year-old range, 15-year-old range. And he had brought her back. He had killed her parents. He had burned her home down. He had taken everything that was theirs and confiscated it along with his army of men. And now they've come back home. And here he is, the Bible says, that he was a great man with his master. The Bible says that he was an honorable man. The Bible says that he was a mighty man in valor. Now, some of you people are old enough to remember General Patton of World War II. His name was called Blood and Guts Patton. I had a nephew that served under him. He said the man was fearless. He said he would go. We got over to the Rhine River. The Germans were encamped on the other side of the river. They were in their pillboxes and in their trenches and everything. And he said Patton walked up to the river and made his company lie down so they wouldn't be shot. And he jumped in the river, swam the river under machine gun fire, swam back across under machine gun fire, crawled up on the bank and said, "Follow me. Follow me." He said, "You know, Tom, I would have given my life for that man any time of the day. Any time of the day." We have a captain. Hebrews 2:10 says Jesus Christ is the captain of our salvation. You know what our captain keeps saying in the New Testament over and over and over again? He didn't say, "Go get them, boys." He said, "Follow me." Are you following him? If you're not winning souls, you're not following Jesus. If you're not praying, you're not following Jesus. If you're not studying your Bible, reading your Bible out in public, you're not following Jesus. If you're not giving, you're not following Jesus. You say, how do you know all that? Well, the Bible says that He knows His own, and His own follow Him.
Amen.
They follow Him. They hear His voice, and they follow Him. And so tonight, I simply ask you, look at your life, take a simple deduction, are you following Christ? Are you following Christ? I trust tonight. You'll get honest with yourself. You know, the book of James said the Bible is like a mirror. You know, most people go to a mirror, and you know what they go there for? They go there for one thing. What do I look like? What do I look like? Stay there a little while, would you? Next time you go to a mirror, just stay there a little while and ask the mirror, show me what I don't look like. Show me what I don't look like. See, a mirror does two things. Tells you what you look like, tells you what you don't look like. But most of us don't go there to find out what we don't look like. That's why James said, pretty soon away from the mirror, you forget what you saw. You forget what you saw. You know, and you forgot. You ain't so hot. All the time, people say to me, married people, husbands or wives, one say, you know, that Williams, you just don't know what I married. I said, look in the mirror. They didn't get a bargain either. You know, God help. You know, just wait for the mirror to tell you what you ain't. You read enough of this book, you'll find out what you ain't.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Now, and so, here is Naaman, this man. And he's come back. And he's brought this little girl. Notice what it says, verse 2. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Now, I want to just talk to you just a little bit, preach to you a little bit about this girl, and then we're through. Here is this young girl, maybe 14, 15 years old. She has seen her parents die at the hand of the Syrian army. She's seen her home burned. She's seen her town looted and just absolutely desecrated. And brought back to a pagan nation with a pagan god and subjected to slavery. Subjected to slavery to the captain of this whole mess. And here she is. Now, this little girl, it's amazing to me. I don't know why that God did not put her in Hebrews chapter 11. I just don't understand that. It's His business what He does and don't do. But I think she belongs right at the top of the list of the great hall of faith of people in Hebrews 11. Here's this little girl, and she's made a slave. She's seen her parents killed. She's seen her home lose. She's seen her town burn. But notice what she says. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God, she said to Mrs. Naaman, would God, you don't just say, would God. That's an expression like, oh God, when we see it in our Bible. Would God. This is said with compassion. This is said with tears. This is said with a broken heart. Would God, Mrs. Naaman, would God that my... What? Notice what he said. Would God that my Lord... She called him Lord. He killed her parents. He burned her home. He looted her city. He made a slave out of her. And she calls him Lord. She calls him Lord. She said, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. She said, oh, I don't want to see him as a leper. I see him. He can't even come home to you, ma'am. He has to stand outside of the front yard gate and call you out. And he dares not to get close to you. And he talks with tears streaming down his face. And oh, he tells you his love. And how he'd like to hold you in his arms. And how he'd like to embrace his own children and can't. And he has to entrust you and the children to our servants. And here he is. He's this great captain. He leads the army. He's the king's right-hand man. But he must hide over in the shadows when the dignitaries come from the other nations. He must hide himself in the shadows, not to as embarrass his king that there's a leper in the room. And he can't come home and he can't be out in public there in the kingdom. And all of that. And on and on and on and on. Oh, what God! I want him to hug you. I want him to embrace you. I want the children to know. I remember how my dad used to sit me on his lap. I remember how my mother hugged me. And I remember how they prayed with me over in Israel. I remember all of those things. And I want you to have a home like we had, ma'am. I want you to have a husband that can hug you and can embrace his children. And he can come home tonight and get in the house and be part of the family. Would God! Would God. Would God. How long has it been since you have said, would God that people were saved? Would God that that neighbor of mine knew Christ? Would God that my grandma would get saved? Would God that my wayward son would? And said it with tears and said it with a broken heart. Would God? Would God. And you know, Mrs. Naaman, she called Naaman. She sent somebody down to the palace and said, Naaman, come home quickly. And Naaman came home. He said, what is it? What is it? And she said, you know that little Israeli girl? The one that says yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am? The one that says yes, sir, and no, sir? The one that gets up the first time she's called? The one that goes to bed without having been told? You know how fast she is to the market? I can't even believe that she's been to the market and back. I can't believe she works later than any servant we have and works more than any that we have. And on and on. You say, how does she know she did all of that, Brother Williams? I'll tell you how I know. Because when she said something, it meant something.
Yeah, amen. Right.
Does it mean anything when you say, I'm a Christian? Does it mean anything when you tell somebody, I know the Lord? Do they believe that? Are they persuaded by that? Because they see it in you? Because they see it in you? And here is this little girl. And Naaman said to his wife, honey, I know she's precious. Honey, I've never seen anybody work like her. I've never seen anything do it. But she's a little girl. I have leprosy. You know there's no cure for leprosy. You know lepers die with it. There's still no cure tonight for leprosy, ladies and gentlemen. They can stop it, but they can't cure it. You know that there's no cure for leprosy. Honey, what are you talking about? Honey, look, I'm telling you what the little girl said. And Naaman said, okay. And so Naaman goes down to the palace and he said, King, you know that little Israeli girl I keep telling you about? The one that says yes, sir, no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and works like two other people and on and on and on. She said, she just told Miss Naaman. Miss Naaman told me that there's a prophet over in Israel, and if I would go over there, I could get healed of leprosy. The king didn't laugh. The king didn't mock. The king didn't say, Naaman, my goodness sakes, man, get a hold of yourself. She's just a little girl. No. You know what he did? Read it for yourself. He said, go and tell my secretary to give you $90,000. $90,000. And give you 10 of my finest raiments, 10 of my beautiful, beautiful robes that I wear at special occasions. And you take them over there to Israel with you. And you come back to me whole. Now, I'm not going to take time to go on all the way through the chapter. But Naaman goes over to Israel. He goes to the king. He goes to the king. He doesn't go to the prophet. Do you know how many people are going to a church? They're going to a baptismal pool. They're going to a set of good works or something else instead of to Jesus. There's just one, my friend, that can save you. There's just one that has the power to take your sins away. There's just one whose name opens up all of heaven to you. There's just one tonight who's the sinless, spotless Son of the living God. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said. There's nobody else. There's none other name given amongst men under heaven whereby we must be saved except Jesus Christ. That's the only one. No other name has ever had the power to save. No other name will ever have the power to save. No other name. He said, seeing that I ever liveth in Hebrews 7:25 to make intercession for thee, I can save all that come unto the Father by me, seeing that I ever liveth. Oh, tonight, that name of Jesus Christ is the only name of salvation. It's the only name that opens heaven for you and me. And here we find tonight, here's this little girl, and she sends Naaman over there, but he goes to the wrong one. And the old king was honest. He took off his best robe there in Israel, and he ripped it. He ripped it apart, and he said, "Am I God? Am I God? I can't do this. You heal a man of his leprosy? What's the matter with the king of Syria? He's just trying to pick a fight." But there's a prophet in the country. His name is Elisha. He's my kind of guy. He sent a courier down to the king real quick. He said, "Tell the king to send him over here. And that man from Syria is going to know. He's going to know there's a prophet in Israel that can get a hold to God. He's going to know that. Not maybe. He's going to know." He said, "King, look, ripping your clothes don't do it." He said, "You just ruined a good suit. That's all you accomplished." He said, "Now send him over here. Send him over here." So Naaman comes over here. And here's a log cabin. You say, "How do you know that? I read the rest of the chapter." And he said that Elisha and these young prophet's sons, they go out and they start cutting wood, cutting logs. Because the school has grown, the prophet school has grown, and so now they need to build bigger. And they said they go down to cut a bunch more logs. And so here Naaman comes up to this log cabin. It's not a palace. It's not some big expensive home. It's just a log cabin. And he bangs on the door. Bong, 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 bong. Elisha don't even quit talking. He don't even quit teaching these little prophet's sons. He just calls one of them. He said, "Son, come here." He said, "There's a fellow at the door. It'll be Naaman the leper. He's from Syria, and he wants to get rid of his leprosy. And you go back there and tell him to just go down to Jordan River and get in it, dip up and down 7 times. The leprosy will be gone on the 7th dip, and he can go home." Well, this mighty captain of the host of Syria wasn't used to that. I mean, he wasn't used to that at all. I mean, this little boy comes to the door. He's got a gray outfit, like a gray flannel nightgown on. And he looks up and he says, "Boy, you got it all right. You sure have. You're a leper, all right. And Mr. Elisha knows everything." And he said, "He wants me to tell you, that's the Jordan River right down there. Right down there." And he said, "You just go down there and get in the Jordan, dip on down 7 times. And when you come up 7th time, your leprosy will be gone. And you can get on your horse and go home." And Naaman had a dime store fit. You study this chapter. I mean, it said he laid down on the ground. He threw rocks in the air. He threw dirt in the air. If you see his soldiers, it didn't say they come close. It didn't come up there. They didn't want to get hit with all this stuff. So they said, "Yoo-hoo! Naaman! Sir! Captain! If he'd have told you to do something great, you'd have done it. If he'd have told you, walk from here to Egypt on one leg, you'd have tried it. If he'd told you, go down and get 50 foreskins of Egyptian soldiers, you'd have done it." Look, all he said was get in the river. Why don't you try it? Why don't you try it? You know what this man did? He started naming rivers. He said, "Are not Abana and Phapar, the rivers of Damascus, 10 times better than the rivers of Israel?" And they are. I'm telling you, the Jordan is a glorified mud hole. He said, if I wanted to get in the river, I'd have done it way, way over there. In a beautiful, clear river. And he's telling me, the Jordan was in its flood season. There was silt, mud everywhere. And this mighty captain goes down there. Finally, his men talk him into it. He goes down there. He strips off this big battle garment, pulls off his battle boots, lays his sword aside, removes his helmet, and finally wades out into the Jordan deep enough. Pulling his feet out of the mud. Gets out there deep enough that he can let himself down underwater. Goes down once, comes up, still a leper. Two, a leper. Three, a leper. Four, a leper. Five, a leper. Here's 100 soldiers that came with him, a centurion guard. They're lined up along the bank watching the mighty captain. 5 times, still a leper. 6 times, still a leper. 7 times, comes up, and the Bible says his flesh was like the flesh of a child.
That'll work.
Not 40-year-old flesh like the rest of his body. It was the flesh of a child. Hey, God does things really good. I saw one of these faith healers on television one night, and he said, if you give all your money, whatever you've been needing, God'll take care of it. Next night, he had this lady on there, brought her right up to the TV camera, opened her mouth and said, God, she gave her money last night, folks. God put a solid gold tooth in her mouth last night. God help. That's like saying God gave a man a wooden leg. He's going to give her a tooth. He'd give her one better than the one she had she started with. Look, and the mighty captain is whole. Now, why is the captain over there? Why is this man, who is the man under the king of Syria, why has he ridden all the way from Syria down into enemy territory, down into Israel, down there? Why is he down there, my friend? What made him make that trip? The testimony of a little 14-year-old girl. Now, here's the clincher. This little girl never seen a leper healed. She's never seen a leper healed. Never. You say, come on, preach, how do you know that? I read my Bible. Amazing what you find in the Bible. Listen to Jesus Christ in the book of Luke. He said, I tell you that in the days of Naaman the leper, there were many lepers in Israel, but none of them were healed but Naaman. None of them. Not one leper in all of Israel had been healed. That little girl had never seen a leper healed. But she claimed that her God was able. And she so lived in front of her enemies, these people that made her slave, that killed her parents, that burned her town, that looted her village. She lived, so lived the Christian life, so lived that they saw God in her and they believed in her enough that that mighty captain got 100 soldiers, rode all the way to Israel, miles and miles and miles and miles and miles, and went down there and came back to the king hall, came back to his wife. Can you imagine the reunion when he finally was able to walk through that front yard gate, clasp his wife in his arms and say, look, honey, no leprosy.
Amen.
And his children clung to his body and said, Daddy, 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 Daddy. And the king said, never. I want you to stand right here by the throne. I don't want you to hide in the shadows anymore. It won't matter. The leprosy's gone. All on the testimony of a little 14-year-old girl. What kind of testimony you have tonight? Huh? So many young people will say, Dr. Williams, while y'all are here preaching, maybe you could win my parents. I said, maybe. Maybe. I said, tell me what kind of grades you make. Tell me, do you empty the trash without being told? Do you get up without belly aching about what time it is? Do you eat your meals? How much television do you watch? How much computer games do you play? You know, people say to me, Dr. Williams, you on Facebook? I said, no, I keep my face in this book. They say, you on Twitter? I said, no, my dad taught me as a little boy, don't Twitter your life away, son. I've never looked on Facebook, wouldn't know it. But people tell me what people say on Facebook. I'm going to tell you this. If people would get as honest with God as they do on Facebook, we'd have revival. We'd have revival. I'd say, could I get in your room today without a D9 Caterpillar? I don't know if I can win your parents. I do know this. If I've got to walk over your testimony to win them, it'll never happen. It'll never happen. One lady in Tacoma, Washington, came up to me, and I was preaching her in the church, and they were having a ladies' thing one day, and the pastor and I were there doing some things, and she said, Dr. Williams, she said, my husband's an 18-wheel truck driver. He's a tough, rough guy. I said, you're kind of a man's man. I said, you know, maybe you could win him. I said, give me his address. She gave me his address. I borrowed a car from the preacher, and I drove out there. Caught the old boy. He parked his truck at his house, and I caught him coming from the house to the truck. Walked over to him, and I said, I'm Dr. Williams, and I said, I'm preaching down at the church where your wife is, and she came to me with tears today and wants you to get saved. I'm out here to see if I can get you saved. Well, he said, you're the kind of guy I might talk to. He said, all the others she sent out here just said, oh, we just happened by. 2 million people, and I just happened by. He said, but before you start, preacher, come with me. We walked down to their little house, a nice little home, 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom, so forth. We walked through the house. There were dishes at least 4 days old. Cockroaches crawling all over them. There was a stack of unwashed laundry in every room. Not one bed was made, and the 2 bathrooms were like pigsties. He said, now, preacher, if that's Christianity, I don't need it. I said, sir, I said, please forgive me for bothering you. I got in the car, drove back. I went to his wife and I said, ma'am, nobody, I mean nobody, is ever going to win your husband till you decide to be a Christian. My friend, I'm the youngest of 14 children. We were poor. I mean, when your mama puts 2 babies in the same diaper, you know you're poor. You may have to be poor, but bless God, you don't have to be dirty.
Amen. Amen.
Christians ought to have the best testimony on their block. Christians ought to have the cleanest car. I don't know how many cars I've gotten into where they said, just a minute, Brother Williams, they sweep out the cans and sweep out the junk. All on the testimony of a little 14-year-old girl. This man didn't just get his leprosy healed. Read the story. He got saved. He got saved. And he said to Elisha, he went back up out of the cabin. This time Elisha came out because now the guy's decent to talk to. He said, give me a mule load of dirt. Give me a mule load of Israeli dirt. Because when I get back home, I'm the right-hand man of my king. I have to go down to where he worships Dagon. I have to go in the temple with him. That's compulsory law. But he said, when the king kneels on that ground there that belongs to Dagon, I'm going to have my Israeli dirt here, and I'm going to kneel on it that belongs to the God of heaven. all this baloney about getting baptized up in the mountains in the spring and all that. Now, if you don't have a baptistry, I'm all for baptizing in a river. But I'm going to tell you, my friend, since there is one here, God's house, this place, was bought with tithe money. This place was bought to serve God in. This place was bought where the Word of God could be preached. Don't you believe all this junk that's going on today, ignoring the church house? I'm just saying to you tonight, all on the testimony of a little 14-year-old girl, the captain of the host of the army of Syria got saved and got cleansed of leprosy. Our Father tonight, thank you for the thrilling story of this little girl. Someday I'll understand why you didn't put her perhaps in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. But oh, what a mighty faith she had. What a mighty faith. Oh my God, tonight, that I would walk in that much faith. I pray that you would. Let's stand together quietly tonight. I'm going to ask Sister Ortez to play softly. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. All I ask when I preach is you be honest. God spoke to you tonight. Come on. Just come on down here and get on your knees tonight. Humble yourself. Just get rid of your stinking pride. That's all it is. Come on tonight. Just put down your pride. Get down here on your knees. Say, dear God, I want the testimony of that little girl. I want a testimony that people believe. I'm a believer, but I want to be believable. I want to be believable. Come on tonight, right now. God bless you. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Come on tonight. God's waiting on you. Come on tonight. Right now tonight. Just come. Right now tonight. Just come. Come on. Come on. Come on. Please stay right here at the front. Just stay right here at the front. Please. Do not go back to your seat. Just stay right here. Come on. We'll wait just a moment. Will you come? God spoke to you. I know He did. I know He did. Come on. Right now. Join all of these. All of these here. Dr. Shear, these are your people. Would you come and pray for us, please, while I kneel with them?
Father, you see these folks that are kneeling here at the shelter. Oh, God, I pray that you just help us to see the power of God upon our lives by prayer and fasting. Lord, our lives would be changed, that others would see the change in us that would want them a desire to be a Christian. God, there are so many false signals that this world is sending out. So many religions out there that are saying this and that. Lord, what we need is a good dose of Christianity. We need you, Lord God. We need your power. So I pray you'd bless these folks who are willing to come and humble themselves before you and before this congregation. Dear God, I pray you do a great work in our hearts and our lives. May they stand on the Word of God. May they be on their knees and face before you. And Lord, that you would show us that you're a prayer-answering God, because we know that. There's no question about that. Lord, there are certain things that we need. I pray, God, you just bring it to our minds that we may bring it to you. And God, you will not hinder us. You told us that we could come boldly. And Lord, I beg you tonight that you speak to these folks that have come. Speak to those who do not see the need for that. And get them to you in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed. You may go back to your seats if you like.
As you say to you tonight, there's $380 worth of material on the table, $380. If you buy tonight, it would complete that.